You're listening to The Bob Dean Show, only on LA Talk Radio.
Is your antidepressant not doing its job?
Ha! It's really me, Bob Dean. Hi, everybody. Happy Halloween.
The result, Dennis and I went as the Resulti people a couple years ago.
Happy, happy Halloween. This is my co-host for the day. We'll just call him Richard. Hey, Richard, how you doing?
Good, thanks.
And of course, my year-round jack-o'-lantern face in the back there. Happy Halloween to everybody. Coming to you live from my palatial Santa Monica apartment. It's the Bob Dean Show. Yay. Remember out there in podcast land, whenever I say the Bob Dean Show, you all say out like the secret word on Pee-wee Herman, go, yay. No, yay. The Dodgers won the World Series. How about that? Very exciting. Did anybody see that one guy that tried to steal the ball out of Mookie's hand, or, you know, when he caught it? Boy, that guy looked like he had issues. And they did walk him out. I saw that on some clips online. So thank you, Dodgers, for bringing some fun back to L.A., or there's always fun here. And let's see. I will be at the Comedy Store on Thursday, November 7th. So put that on your calendars. Come see me. I'm reasonably amusing. And my hat says, of course I'm right. I'm Bob. And let's see. Oh, we want to say hi to Lisa in Costa Rica. We'll get back to you, Lisa. And let's say it's Halloween. Dodgers win. That's all my things for the thing. So our guest today is fabulous. She's an artist of all dimensions. This is Long Walker. Join us.
Hey, Dimension Girl.
You're a bon vivant of dimensions.
You're awesome. Thank you.
It's nice to see you, ladies and gentlemen, and pets and ghouls. I met Long Walker just a week ago. She, and Lisa. Hi, Lisa in Costa Rica.
Hi, Lisa. Oh, my God. Like, Lisa? No, really. Yeah.
We laughed our butts off. She was like family.
She's the one.
You know,
she is so awesome.
She's awesome, and she's a fat.
No, like, she's awesome. Like, we met, like, I'm not going to tell you how many years because we don't do that. But we met a while back, and I was, like, a PA on the film set, and she was assistant director. And I was, like, so in awe of her and her work and just her person that I was like, okay, she's the one. And she bought me a camera. She bought me, like, my first camera to shoot because my eye, you know, I had the visual thing going. She saw it. So, yeah, I love her. And then, you know, she heard I was doing this video and she's like, I'm coming. And I was like, what in the world? Like, what is this life? Like, I was a PA. She was an AD. Now I'm directing and she's my assistant. Like, that what is that?
It's coming that around 360. Circle. She awesome. Saw your artistic beauty and
she
helped
did.
You start along with it. And she's a kick, man. Well, that's
yeah,
really awesome.
Cool.
And what a lifelong friend you have now.
Yeah, for sure.
You guys came in. She came in and sat down at the bar because, ladies and gentlemen, you know that I am a comedian and an actor, which means that I'm a bartender. And I love my gig at the Mosaic Hotel on 125 South Spalding in Beverly Hills. Come by and have a cocktail. And the one thing I love about that is that the opportunity to meet people from all over the world. And when Lisa came and sat at the bar, we started chatting it up. And she said, I'm here to meet a friend. And you know, she's staying in another hotel, which was close by. And then you came in and you guys just started yakking it up and yucking it up. And in an hour? It was at the bar. We were all great time and laughing. And
we had so much fun. And Sarah was there, the girl from Carmel. Hi,
Sarah.
And she, everybody was so awesome that night. And our new friend from Israel, who, Itai, is like,
I'm trying to
everybody
remember.
Was cool. It was a cool welcome. I had just flown in. So it was like, you know, it was a cool way to like get in, you know,
if
get
I
into LA.
Myself, I make a joke and I say, I never throw a bad party because I really don't. And I mean, because I don't care as long as I'm having fun, that's what matters. But
bar,
I've introduced so many people, you know, it's always a comfortable spot.
Yeah, I like it.
It makes me feel good when, you know, we could just sit there and nobody's like, looking at their phones. Nobody ever looks at their phone at my bar.
Right.
That's
a
big
love
old thing
that.
To me right there, you know?
I love that. Yeah.
So you have a lot going. Can I ask you one thing before I forget? And we did not just, you know, we didn't rehearse this. So if it's that, right. it's none of my business. But I did ask Lisa about this because you're, what's with this hat?
I don't know. Mine's you're, kind of on. So
mine's all crooked.
I'm sending good vibes for your hat.
I have left. Anyway, so,
you don't need
you
it.
You guys were talking and you brought up a home, a house that you own somewhere. And you were talking about, because you were just going on a list of things that were keeping you busy.
Yeah.
And you talked about a house that's in needs a lot of repair, but you said, I heard you say there's a tree growing through it. Okay.
That's funny.
I'm just curious.
Well,
about
yeah,
that.
That's funny. That's,
can you tell us about that?
Or? I'll let you know. I'm actually, because I get my hands in a lot of things, even in the soil, like I live on a farm. So I really want to start this whole, well, I am starting, let's put it that way. I am starting a whole, it's called the Beehive, and it's going to be like a center where we're going to have a bunch of workshops, retreats, there's going to be healing, there's going to be directors, workshops, writing, art, cob building, permaculture, all of that, you know, all that. So this is the property that I found a while back. But I hadn't visited it in a while. But when I went to see it, it was like the tree was like growing in it. I was like, no. Immediately called real estate woman, Peggy, who's my personal real estate person. And she showed me another place that was like, is like a palazzo that was built in the 16th century and is like renovated and awesome, like 11 rooms. And like, anyway, I don't need to tell everybody my whole, you know, story here, but that's what we were talking
that's
about.
Awesome, and congratulations on finding something like
thank
that.
Yeah,
obviously, it's your personality, your character,
thank you.
Having a farm that's going to be great, you know.
Yeah, right.
That's something a friend of mine in Tennessee was talking about. You know, she, long story short, is that she was thinking
it's
about
gonna get loud.
Going to Kingsport, Tennessee, around that area, and buying a few acres and putting a trailer on it, which I think a trailer, I don't care what anybody says. And she said, why don't you come up and put a trailer next to mine and we'll just have a bunch of dogs and cats and some horses and that sort of thing.
Hey, that sounds fun.
And it would be relatively close to my friend Sandy Segrillo, who you will meet on another episode of the Bob Dean Show. Yeah, she has a llama refuge called the Wandering Llamas.
Yes. I want to talk to you about that because that fits perfect in my movement, Taking Down Giants, which is about women who are doing amazing things on the planet. And she would be awesome. I would love to have her in this series.
I will hook you up. And while it's on my mind, don't let me forget to tell you about Crispy Solaperto.
Oh,
she is my friend. She is the concierge or the director of guest happiness, I think, at the Standard Hotel on Miami Beach.
I love the Standard. Yes.
She is a Miami native. And everybody, if you've ever stayed at the Standard, she's a short, girl like this. She's got dreadlocks down to her feet by now, and she's like Italian, but she looks African. She has an African American zest to her, you know.
She's got a little bit mixed in there.
And she knows everyone and everything that's going on. And also Lori Bacham, she's on South Beach. She's been a realtor forever. These are people that have helped mold these areas.
Yeah, I would love to. Yeah, let's connect the dots.
My friend Colleen, she's a fashion designer in Nashville, and she and her husband Michael have owned restaurants in Nashville and Mexico. Fabulous.
Okay.
I'm gonna write
Let's
that down.
The dots. That's what it's all about.
Okay, so pass along with that.
Yeah, I was telling you about my film, my series. So it's called Taking Down Giants. If you Google Taking Down Giants, it's gonna be the first thing you hit, right? It's all about women, firstly, that are women and young girls, first women that are doing amazing things on the planet for the planet. And I shot it during the pandemic. I did not stop. My industry stopped, but I did not. And we shot in three different countries, in Africa, in Australia, and in Brazil. So I've got three women to start the series off, and we're just gathering more and more and more. And it looks like it has a lot of interest from Nat Geo, Discovery, BBC, and CNN, and now Universal.
God, congratulations.
So it's, yeah, wow. It's gone. It's all gone.
I cannot imagine how excited you must be. You and your associates, you know, everybody from, you know, that's the talented people with you and your crew and everything.
Oh my gosh, my crew was insane. They're like, okay, they're all from these areas. So they're like, you know, because we couldn't travel. So I just hired crew from those countries. There you go. Like, nobody needs to travel. And there you go. Now it's a new innovative model that I use for my company. So it works.
Cannot wait.
And I think we have a clip from a little clip that we shot in Lagos, Nigeria. This is a woman who learned how to, well, who discovered how to gather the water hyacinth that becomes a problem for the fishermen and the people who live in these water communities who cannot get food when this weed comes. So she's discovered how to harvest that plant and turn it into baskets and goods, and now mixing it with fabric and sustainable fashion. So it's a win-win for everybody there. So we have a clip of that in Africa.
Great. Can we?
Because as a day now, you suppose on the plan on how you want to increase your business, your fishing business. So maybe you not just limit your mentality saying only yeah. You just want a day. You understand?
So you can see the weed there, like that's when it's just starting, but it will cover that whole area.
Okay. And now tell us in Nigeria, where you filmed, in what part of Nigeria?
Lagos, Nigeria.
And so this is a natural phenomenon, if you will, that happens in the community every season.
That's right. And no one knew what to do with it. They just stopped doing what they were doing. The fishermen could not get fish. There's crazy traffic in Lagos. So they have water taxis. And then the water taxis could not get through. So there was tons of traffic and people weren't eating because they had no fish. So she really did the community a big favor there by like trying to do that and doing it and making it happen.
That's amazing.
Making it happen. That's amazing. She's very smart woman. Achenyo Okadaba. She has a TED Talk also. Achenyo Okadaba.
Achenyo Okadaba.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You can learn more about her. Yeah.
Yeah. I was just going to ask you what her name is. Man, so what time of the year does this plant invade, you know, seasonally? Is it?
Oh, well, it's coming. I believe it's coming in the late summer. And then it's like all over the place. You can't even, I know it happens in Florida too, but in Florida, they have the machines to go in and harvest these things. In Africa, they don't have, in Lagos, they don't have those machines. So they've been having to deal with it. And then here she comes, Achenyo, yay, to save the day. And comes back to her community and knows how to do it. And is teaching other women all around Africa how to do the same thing. And now it's a win-win. Right.
Well, that's marvelous. It's fantastic and it's fascinating because, you know, in the ecological balance, there's got to be a reason for the plant.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Do you know what the name of the plant is? Or is it?
It's called water hyacinth.
Water
hyacinth.
Does it bloom?
Yeah.
See, there,
it does bloom. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. It blooms like kind of like, you know, the water lilies, a little bit like the water lilies. Is beautiful, but it's invasive. It's gotta go. It can't. Mm-hmm. It can't. It I think it came. It came to Africa through the Amazon. It came down the Amazon or up, whatever. It came through the Amazon and landed in Africa. So they didn't have it, and then all of a sudden, they have this weed, and they're like, "What are we gonna do?" right?
Has it been like in the last century, do we know? Or
yeah.
Or, oh my gosh, yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy. And she's a hero. I mean, for her, like, you know, they just didn't dream that they could get that weed out of there because they don't have the supplies, which we should send them the supplies, send them money or do something so they could. But now, you know, now, bravo for Echeno.
Seriously, it's like, you know, this is no comparison, but my neighbor, David, he's a great guy. He is a, botanist. I mean, he works with nurseries and things like that. And I don't know what the damn thing is called, but he planted it about 2 years ago. We live in one of those dingbat buildings. It's a early 60s, nine units sideways, or, you know. And
I get you.
And he started this one plant in a giant pot, and it's growing. And you can watch the little tentacles come out. And
I love it.
Grasps around the wrought iron.
And oh, I love it. Yes.
Gets these gorgeous big old flowers with kind of like blossoms that look like the, what you call it, that they look like a cactus flower almost.
Okay.
It's so fascinating to watch it spin, and you know, like one matter of a couple of days, it's going along like that.
Well, maybe it's part cactus.
Well,
maybe it's in the cactus family. There are some that do that.
My urban garden in the back, which I love, and somebody stole my Christmas cactus. That's another story. It was gorgeous. It was hidden. But I have a cactus that started off with one of those little things you buy at the...
Yes.
And it's like, you know, five little ones. And that thing is 7 feet tall. And I've got it in the corner.
Please.
And it's humongous.
What?
And the other day, I just happened to look at it, and there was a flower like this big. It was beautiful.
Isn't that stunning? Yeah, my garden too. Like, I had this cactus. I had no idea that it would even bloom. Like, no idea. And I came out, and it had these pink flowers, and was like, boom, 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 boom. I was like, what? Yeah.
I want to say gardening one more thing about botany, and then we're going to get back to you. I've got like 20 of these around the apartment. I don't remember what this is called. Do you know what this is? It's like
it's called a is it called a philodendron?
Philodendron, yeah.
I think it's a philodendron.
Well, just
I have one of those.
Because I'm going to send you a piece of this too, because this plant, my mother had a green thumb, Stella. Hey, Stella. Mom.
Yeah. Still and, alive.
She's a beautiful home full of plants. And when I moved out here, this philodendron was hanging in her kitchen from as long as I can remember, like as a child. And she would cut it back and read it. Well, I brought it with me to Los Angeles 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And it just grows and grows. And I clip it off and root it. And then whenever it's somebody's birthday or a housewarming or whatever, I get a piece of Stella, you know?
Yeah. Isn't it great?
I let it. About 4 years ago, I don't remember how I did it, but foolishly, I thought it was dead. I thought it was gone.
Yeah.
And, my heart was broken, and I called my friend Tammy in Las Vegas because I'd given her one, and hers was beautiful and thriving. And I said, could I have a piece of my mom's plant back? She's like, of course. I looked in that pot, and this little tiny green thing was coming up, and that... and remodeled itself, and now it's everywhere again. So that's the beauty of Mother Nature.
That's a beauty. See, that's full circle too. It's life. It's the cycle of life.
All right, let's get back to you.
Okay, why not?
Me again, a little more, and then I want to talk about your video.
So my company is called 2i Films, like I, but it's spelled with an I, with a letter I, but it's 2i Films. It's an impact film company. So it's all about social impact and not just showing a product, but having an action to do after you see the product. So, you know, like having something to do, like it's great to sit in the cinema. It's awesome to be inspired. But a lot of times, like for myself, and I know for other people, you're so inspired and you want to do something afterwards, but there's no link, there's no nothing. And you're kind of like, oh, well, that was a great film, but now what, right? So this is all content that gives you something to do afterwards.
Man, that is brilliant. Because you are absolutely right. So many things that can be motivational to us or open our eyes to something that's, you know, open our eyes. And you'd be like, you know, why, that's fantastic. I cannot wait to see this.
Thank you.
You have any other successes like that or just starting off?
I have some other. I have a slate of 5 films that I'm speaking with Universal about at the moment. So perhaps, fingers crossed, prayers. It's not about luck.
Positive energy.
It's about visioning, positive energy, prayers, visioning. Get a grand vision. You know what I mean? Like, okay, there's little things you could do that are cool, you think are cool, but get a grand vision that's going to help other people. That's going to involve masses of people. That's how you create change.
You know, that is really something else. Have you ever thought about, or, you know, just popped into my head because it's so disturbing, is this, you know, the plastic in the ocean that goes around and around?
Oh, yeah. And one of my girls in my film, in the series, Taking Down Giants, her name is Dr. Emma Camp. And she is a marine biologist, and they are studying the Great Barrier Reef right now, and the corals. And so the corals are getting this thing called coral bleaching. I won't go into the whole thing because I want you
to have
something to see.
Actually, I'm somewhat familiar with it, but go ahead. The coral is dying.
And so the coral is dying, and they're creating these nurseries that, you know, they're getting coral from other lagoons that are surviving the climate change. And they're taking those and putting them into little nurseries and replanting them where the other ones are being bleached and dying because these can survive. But as I was researching that, you know, I came across a lot of organizations that are working with the plastic to get the plastic out of the ocean because it's killing our fish. It's terrible. It's really terrible.
You know, my father, God rest his soul, was a Bob. Hey, Bob. Was a pioneer in plastics in the United States, you know, when he was young. And with reaction injection molding and that sort of thing. But I know that he'd be rolling over in his grave right now, or it is as a result it was designed, you know, as a child, I remember, you know, explaining, you know, things proudly of these reaction injection molding. Like, you know, he and 3 other guys actually brought the concept of reaction injection molding to the United States.
That's amazing.
One of those deals where, you know, they worked hard and he was in, you know, Europe and Russia and all this thing. And of course they saw nothing, you know, it was like the idea. But, you know, the whole thing about plastics, like Tupperware and things like that, it was designed to be reused.
Right.
And it morphed into these ridiculous shopping bags
and the single use plastic and
the
bottles and all the stuff that ends up in the ocean. It's like, I really, really am passionate about, you know, community and communities going out and tackling this issue, because if we all just do a little bit, we can help.
It just baffles me that, well, first of all, you know, those of us, I recycle everything. I mean, I use reused paper towels, and I know, laugh at me if you want, I don't care. But if, you know, if you take a paper towel and you do a little bit with it, I'll take it and rinse it and put it over the, and let it dry. You know, it's not to do everything, but it's like, why not? Why not get another? Recycling, it's a shame that as much as we recycle, what is the percentage, like 10% or something, that actually gets reused?
Right. And
people, you know, for that in my building, my neighbors are great. They're great. But I think there's a percentage of us that are absolutely dedicated to using the 2 blue bins, which I, in fact, got the city to bring. And other people will just think it's right there, but they'll toss everything into the thing.
It's crazy.
We all get along. We're not in each other's business, but we look out for each other and all. And I don't want to go up and go, hey, Neil, why don't you just take the goddamn Downy bottle and put it in the, you know, et cetera.
Right. So, I mean, how long does it take? Really? Right.
And there's a whole argument of like, consciousness. It's out, uses too much water and blah, blah, blah. So it's like a rock and hard place. But my big ass is hanging out, part of my language. How, you know, if you see my legs hanging out of the dumpster, it's because I've got like one of those things with the claw on the end. I can't not do it, you know?
You're hilarious. Oh, I wish I was going to be at the Comedy Store to see you, but I won't be, but I'll be there in spirit.
I'm excited.
I know you're going to be there. I'm excited.
Watch my website, bobthesurlycomic.com. And, you know, I'm so technologically challenged.
You're so great. Come on. Don't even try.
Well, let's get back to this. So what else is going on?
Okay, sure. So here's the cool thing is that this last Saturday, I shot my first music video. I mean, what's going on? I have so many songs, right? But I had my eye on directing and like moving up and learning more and more and more about behind the camera, right? And then suddenly I was like, you know, I've got all this music. And now the good thing about coming out with it now, there's a couple good things. One good thing is that now I know how to direct. I know how to produce. I know, you know, I wrote the song, I'm performing the song, and now it's like, at this time, I'm more seasoned to really put in all of my creativity, you know? It's so like, over the years, learning, right?
We're new friends, and I'm so proud of you, that you're going after it, and you know, success is coming your way for a reason, and that's pretty brilliant. Because I know you were so excited that night at the
excited because you know what? Like that week, I had been doing, well, not just me and Lisa and like other people were helping, but it was like I had to step in as producer, and that's, you know, I'm already directing. I also have to perform. I also, you know, and then to put on that hat, the producing hat too. I know how to produce. Not that I wanted to produce, but I stepped in. I did it. So that night that I met you, all of that stuff was kind of already in place. So
you were on cloud nine, kiddo.
I was so happy. Yeah.
And Lisa said that the day was phenomenal. She said that Saturday was phenomenal.
It was, you know what? I have been on set many times. I stage and choreographed the Grammy Awards for Outkast for the song, you know. I was part of that whole show. Yeah. And
I love that song.
I do too. Yeah, but you know what? It was so, so much going on. And like this set, I felt like, well, I've worked on many sets. We won't get into that. But this set in particular, nobody really knew. It's like I just gathered all these people and they were all complete angels. I kid you not. There was not one fight. There was no disagreements. It was as smooth can be. Everybody did their work. And the great thing is that the crew, I've never been on a crew like this. The crew came back 10 minutes early after lunch.
No, stop.
Like, we didn't have to tell them, like, hey, you guys, come on. We're going back in. No. They were phenomenal.
That's amazing. And
my VP, Luke. I mean, my James, Jimmy Torg, the gaffer, the lighting. I was like, we have a clip of like the stage, what the work that they did. The work we did together, you know, like it was like unbelievable. The makeup artist, the stylist, everybody was on point and they were so nice to everyone. Everybody was nice.
We have a clip, you said?
That's it. Yeah, we have a clip of behind the scenes, a little behind the scenes. Of us getting the stage set up.
Let's see.
Thing, please.
What do you need? Corgi? Yeah. One more thing, sir. Because we need a special light on her. From the Supreme Court order. On the dimmer. On from the floor. It's okay to go from the floor. Okay?
It's cool. I mean, look at that set they created. And like all I did was give them a picture and they ran, like they did it. They did exactly like the picture I gave. Like, this is what I want and this is what I'm seeing and this is the position and these are the lights and there you go.
You didn't have to go, Longwalker, you didn't have to go in there one time and go, this isn't right. Let's redo this. Wow, not that's once. Those of us that aren't in the business, you know, or those of you that are not.
Right.
My point is that the people behind the scenes, I mean, I get, you know, I'm a nobody, but I've had minimal success with a couple of internet commercials, and I love live theater. That's a whole different story. But when you're on set, unless you are the big star that has a trailer to go and file your nails or whatever, those guys, the actor, the talent or whatever you want to call us, you know, we sit around, you know, but the guys that handle the microphones for like an hour
the boom sound. Yeah. Boom. The boom.
It's amazing to me.
I've done that. Coming up.
I'm telling you.
It's not easy.
Just persevere. And they all work so hard, down to the makeup artists.
Yes.
And, you know, that service table, everybody. You know, it's not glamorous like it looks in the movies.
Right. It's a lot of hard work.
Is my point that there wasn't nobody's bitching and going, I can't believe we're here so late or whatever.
Right. And I've never been on a set like that. I've been on many sets.
Awesome.
Never. Yeah, it was really, you know, I really prayed hard before. I was like, I'm so tired from these 2 weeks that, like, please, let's just everything be smooth and there you go. All glory to God.
Amen. I did this this restaurant where I used to work, I'm going to condense this, but they did an episode of Entourage, and I don't care who knows who's, you know, it's only me speaking. I'm not speaking for Long Walker or Sam or anybody else, but Jeremy Piven is a jerk. And he was he was such a downer they did it in this huge restaurant. And we started at like 7 o'clock in the morning, and it was a Friday afternoon setup. And I think he purposely flubbed. It was when Entourage was a big hit, you know?
Oh yeah. And, huge.
And he was supposed to get up, walk from one table in a crowded restaurant to another, and, you know, have a tete-a-tete with this woman, an argument. And that
simple,
was
right. Simple scene.
He drug it out. I think he thought it was a music, because there's no way, no way that anybody could flub up these four lines 20 times. And the point of that is that all the, like, it was the former Wolfgang, so you had like a 20-seat bar, and they let me, as, you know, a bartender, you know, work. And we're doing it just so it was a regular day. And all the young people at the bar that were all dressed, and it was supposed to be a glamorous evening. We were all having a great time. And by the end, honestly, 12 hours later, they're still doing the scene. And the directors, everybody's like, hey, let's do it again. And he's like,
that's horrible. It's not funny. No, that's horrible.
Yeah, you don't see any of that stuff because it's hard, you know?
We had a 12-hour day. We had, you know, we had a hard out at, you know, 12 hours, you're done. Like, you're done. And we finished early. Like, we finished an hour early. Like, we finished. We got every shot that you can even imagine and some that you couldn't imagine. And we finished early. Listen, like, that's the crew I had.
For those of you, you know, who have never worked behind the scenes or had the pleasure of working behind the scenes with someone as talented as Long Walker, she's talking about this. Thank is a you. Big deal. It's hard work, and it's like her, like, I guess, like being in the military. Hurry up and wait. Hurry up and wait.
Hurry up and wait. Right.
But if everything came together, that's real. That's a big deal.
And we were not waiting for anything. It was like
to you boom, and your
boom, boom. Perfect. Thank you.
I can't wait to see the finished product.
Oh my gosh, I know. And I have this great editor that came on board, and he's just doing me a favor because he's won Emmy Awards. I mean, he's like that, right?
Yeah.
He's on board, and right? I'm uploading right now. As we talk, I'm uploading to Dropbox so I can give him the link. And
you're one of those people that multitasks.
I am.
I can't even, you know, I'm trying to pet the cat while I'm talking to you, and I'm getting ready to fall out of the chair. But you remember we used to call it doing two things at once?
Yes, two things.
But, you know, you're downloading to Dropbox. I still can't remember what the difference between save and save as is, let alone operate Dropbox.
It's okay, Bob, because there are people who know how to do it. You just give it to them.
Well, that's it. My friend, my neighbor's moved out. He's been doing all the eco casts. I hate them.
And you know, I love how they describe it as, you know, it's a fun and friendly way
it's
to give back
and
to
easy.
The environment. And, you know, this, well, that eco-casting, y'all, is when you audition for a commercial or a part in your home. And as you can see, this is the good side of my apartment.
You got Richard there. I mean,
yeah. Well, Richard, you better learn how to clean up. And yeah, Dennis and I live like frat brothers. You know what I mean? It's like the toilet's always scrubbed and the dishes are always done, but the rest of it, it's like dust. Yeah. Didn't I do that last January? And the point is that it's not easy. They're like, oh, just hang up a curtain, a bed sheet. You know?
No.
Yeah, so my neighbor, he's a swell guy, and his career has taken off, and he's moving out as we speak right now. But it was really cool because I could just go down there, and what would take me 15 hours to drop the Dropbox and splice it and, you know, CapCut and all this stuff. He does it in like 5 seconds. He's like, okay, later. And I'm like, are you done?
Yeah, you know, I have a great story for that because when I was applying for colleges, I got accepted to Juilliard for classical improv piano, which I still play. And I also got accepted to NYU with a full ride for film. And my parents, Navy parents, my mom was like one of the first, not first, but one of the first Black women Navy commanders. I'll have you know.
And her name is?
Her name is Mrs. Charles. Anyway, she's passed. But she was awesome. But her and my dad were Navy people. So very strict household. But they were like, no, you're not going to New York. Like, I grew up in Orange County, Huntington Beach. So they're, you know, Cypress, Huntington Beach area. They were like, you're not going to New York. You know, this would have been a dangerous time to go to New York anyway. But they were like, no. You can't go. So I said, okay, well, if I can't go, I'm really mad at you, first of all. But second of all, I'm going to major in the school that I do go to. I am going to major in theater, but I will also be a double major in computer science. So that's why I know all the tech, you know, I'm into the tech stuff because, you know, why not? Went to school for it, got a degree in it. So,
gosh, I envy you.
You know, they actually did me a favor. I mean, I still went to New York. I still went to New York, and that's where I met Lisa. And, you know, started off as a PA. I worked for, you know, Tribeca Films, Robert De Niro's company. I worked at Inside the Actors Studio. So I got to go to all those classes. I joined the Labyrinth Theater, which was Philip Seymour Hoffman's theater company. I worked on stage there, so you know, I still gained the learning, you know, in a different way. But
and I think in like 90% of the cases, your folks are always right. There was a reason, you know,
they're right.
The opportunity that you had to go to New York, but
I forgive them.
New, you know. And you turned out pretty swell. And I'm looking at it like this. Your mom and my mom, your dad and my dad are sitting up on clouds right now. And they're kicking their feet back and forth. And my mom's going, she's like, you know, if Bobby had just applied himself, he could be as successful as your little girl right now. You think I'm kidding. I always knew he had the talent, but he would rather lay around by the pool instead of being. She was right. I believe that. I absolutely do. As my friend, you met her briefly. For those of you that follow the Bob Dean Show, Jennifer Diamond, my dear friend of many years and a psychic, a real one. You know, she brings up that my mom, dad, my sister and all that, they pop in from time to time. And that's why I absolutely believe it. I believe that, you know, people are together, their spirits are together and they're following us. Yeah. And when I'm meeting a new friend talking like this, I swear to God, I really feel it. You know, and especially when a friend of mine is sad that their mom or dad has passed.
Yes.
So that's where I try and give them a little comfort. I'm like, you know, when that soul leaves that vessel, they are looking good and feeling good.
That's right. And feeling good.
Yeah.
And living everlasting life.
Yep.
I highly, truly believe that. That's everything to me. God is everything to me. I have to tell you that He is everything. So I do believe that. Yeah, and I do believe things do happen for a reason, and there's a season for everything. So down, you're going to be up again. Don't worry. Don't worry. You're going to be up again.
You know, I shouldn't do this, but I do it all the time. It's like if I'm at home and, you know, I'm in the middle of doing dishes and the phone starts ringing, you know, I'll look at Dennis and go, why is life so hard? Because my hands are wet, but I got to. It's like my catchphrase. Why is life so hard? And then as soon as it comes out of my mouth, I'm like, man, you need to shut that hell up. Because as you know, you got a roof over your head and you're
healthy. You need to go back to that Africa clip and think about that.
Did you ever see that Stephen King movie, Creepshow?
No, I can't watch it.
It's a dated movie, but there's this one, I won't tell you about it, but I'll tell you enough to where there's a scene where something from outer space comes and it starts to grow, and it grows and grows and grows, and you know.
Yeah.
And, but that's fascinating, the Africa situation. Even in our lifetime, it's, you know, nothing that, for example, another example is the a Mediterranean fruit fly. Yeah, they come to doesn't matter where you live anymore, but those things came through the way I remember it is in the early 80s. They came through Miami, Florida in imported fruit because I was a young bartender back then. And it was like suddenly these things started appearing around the fruit caddies and they were it doesn't matter. You can clean the fruit every night. And the secret to that, by the way, if you don't know, is to keep your drain dry. If you get them, you know.
Is that right?
Yep. Because you can put down any kind of pesticides or put bleach down your drain and all.
Yeah.
But if you can do your best, like to keep it dry, like put a fan on it or whatever.
Yeah.
Because that's where the eggs get in the moisture. But those things have moved their way all the way across the country. And we've seen that, you know. And the anchor and all that sort of thing where they have to cut down these gorgeous fruit trees. And
I know.
That, and then it's really this plant. What's the plant again?
It's called the water hyacinth. And you can look, and you can look on Google and you'll see how, like in Florida, how they take care of it. They've got these amazing machines that can just wipe it out, just pick it out. It's done, you know.
I'm going to
donate some of those machines. There's so much money in this country. Why not donate some of those machines?
That's what it always baffles me too. And we're not going to go anywhere near any kind of political thing at all, but I look and you see starving people in this country, let alone around the world.
Wonder,
because you know where you're in a part of the country that's not so populous as where we are in LA, and within 5 miles there's probably 5 Ralph's supermarkets, which is like and I can go into any one of them, and the first thing that comes to my mind is how can there be such a bounty of food, whether it's genetically modified or not,
right?
Which is creepy as hell right there. But there's something to eat, and they throw it away, you know. And how can this the money, you know, not to we should take care of our citizens here first, I believe.
Yes, because
that's another ball of wax.
Yes, but
there are ways to help mankind.
Where I live in Northern California, and we live on an apple orchard. And my partner is a great, great apple farmer and distributor of apple products. And, you know, a lot of people up here have gone to grapes because grapes are more in demand for the wine, right? It's wine country. But in this little town that I live in, it used to be like in the 80s when my partner first came here, it was all apples. It was all apples. But now there's the farmers, because everyone's going to grapes, people are ripping out their apple orchards. So, you know, and they don't care. They they don't take care of the trees that they do have. And all these apples are on the ground, like apples everywhere. Mm-hmm. And I was like, there's got to be some way to grab those apples, even though, okay, they're on the ground. Of course, they got to be cleaned out and stuff. But take them to the food bank. So we do, we clean them, we take them to the food bank. They can make applesauce. They can cut the apples up, have apples, have fresh fruit for people.
Mm-hmm.
There's no reason. There's no reason.
Your partner, I would like to speak to them sometime. Well, you know, not
yes.
No, because I'm, well, that, of course, that'd be a great episode. But because right. I remember several years ago, because like being in the restaurant business that I have been mm-hmm. for 40 plus years, you would not, you know, when they say throw it through, you would not believe. You would not believe it. It's absolutely a sin.
I do believe it because I see it. Because we drive to the produce market where all the distributors are, you know, Molly Stowe and Trader Joe's, all these, you know, Whole Foods. And we're delivering, you know, pallets of apple, boxed apples, pallets, flatbeds full of. And like, you can see in the trash. You can see in the trash.
This is what I was getting to, is that the farmer, touching on one particular farmer. I can't remember what it was. He was talking about how he wants to take his surplus or the slightly blemished apple, orange, whatever,
right?
That Trader Joe's would never put on their shelf.
Exactly.
But the cost for him as a small farmer.
You can't.
That it's out of his reach, and that
can't
be like that,
right? You know? So where's that organization? Where's that nonprofit that actually goes and gathers all this fruit and takes it to food banks or you know distribute it out? Like, where? That's a brilliant idea. Like, somebody jump on the bandwagon and do it.
Oh,
right.
My friend Webb Sanderson, who was in the last episode of this show. Now he's not a woman, but he is a guy. But he is a natural farmer in Arkansas.
Oh,
it's really cool. And even despite anything, I want you to meet him just to share.
I would love to. Yeah.
He and his wife Kelly, that we all grew up together in the small suburb of Bellevue in Nashville, Tennessee, which is now overrun by everybody. But it's such a love story. They met at a 30-year reunion. And they fell in love, and now they have a Three Sisters Farm in Marigold, Arkansas.
Okay.
Doing all kinds of he's a chef, but now he's doing natural foods and this and that and the other thing.
I love it.
You're going to really love him and Kelly. They're great.
Oh,
we were just talking about some sort of situations in our last show on the Bob Dean Show. Yay.
Yay.
So that's another. I'm making a list right here.
Yeah.
There's something weird because I can be such a schlub and all, but I am blessed with the most marvelous friends and influencers.
Well, that's because you're marvelous. That's why.
Yeah, well,
that's because you know.
But there's so many people. I've got a list here of at least 8 people that we're gonna connect with after the show.
Nice.
And I just want you to jot their names down. You can look them up on media. Sam is saying it's time to wrap it up. So is there anything you want to say?
Wrap it up. Well, I did send Sam the MP3 of the song, but we didn't get to play it. But you will get to see it on the video. It will be on YouTube. Just remember Long Walker.
When's it coming out?
Long Walker. We're going to be done with it in 2 weeks.
Okay, so, well, let's do this. Not the next show I've got booked, but maybe the next one after that, you just come back.
Yeah.
Is that cool?
Awesome. That is so
fabulous.
Cool. I love
it. Listen, Long Walker, I want to thank you for being a new friend.
Thanks,
and for being
Bob.
A wonderful guest and my fascinating friend. And interesting. My best year partner and the apples.
Thank
and
you.
I do, that's a whole, hey, you, that we could do the
hey,
two together.
That's another one.
Okay,
yeah,
great.
We
and
could.
Thank you, Sam. And thank you, listeners.
Thank you, Sam.
And,
thank you, everyone.
Thank you for supporting the Bob Dean Show.
Thank you. And, 2ifilms.com.
Happy Halloween.
Where you find me. Happy Halloween. Bye-bye.
I'm going bats. Ah.
See you. Oh.
You're listening to The Bob Dean Show, only on LA Talk Radio.